Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Well, good morning. I didn't pay attention and didn't realize we didn't have Daryl to do our opening and our greeting, so we'll jump in. The extra 3 minutes that we have, as you can imagine, is needed by me. I actually was so excited about this morning, and then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit took it and broke it into 2 weeks. So the part I'm really excited about is next week. I shared that with my wife, and she said, really? I shared it with Beth, and she goes, really, you're going to be not expectant that this morning will be just as fun and maybe more fun? So I get that. It's just I'm excited about any time we not only celebrate the finished work, but in this class where we're looking at the case for grace in our lives and our lives being a case for grace, and when we look at our grace life, grace living this life on the other side of the finished work that's in us, this the Spirit of God being in us, then it's out of the classroom. There's a spot in Colossians where, I love how it says in the message, you know Christ enough already. Get out of the classroom and go live it. So we're in a classroom, I get it. We're here to be, you know, listen to Javen, Clark, whoever's teaching today and there. We're choosing together to dig into the Word. And yes, that's classroom. And yes, that prepares us to go out and enjoy life and reflect His glory at the same time. But even here, we're going to more and more live it in this class. Like, why not allow the Holy Spirit to bring something to our attention that it doesn't align with His best and allow the light to shine on it and have it go? I can tell you at 52, so most of you are younger than me, if not all of you, But I will give a testimony, and I guarantee you will see other heads agree. I'm excited about what I will likely learn at 75, 85, 95, and 105 and keep going that I don't even get yet. So why would I show up here expecting to simply review that which I've learned? Why wouldn't I expect that as great as life is right now, as great as it is, in the worst of times, in the best of times, which I do not apologize for. If you're in a rough place and you're saying, oh, great for him, the guy up there that gets to say life is good, I'm telling you, in my worst of times, and that should give you hope. You might say, you don't understand worst of times. Your worst of times must not have been as worst as my worst of times. Everything's relative. Everything's relative. And I've experienced times that would seem not so bad that were far worse than the times you would look at my life movie and say, wow, I can't believe he endured that, or wow, how, you know, what a... So regardless, the worst of times and the best of times, as great as life has been, as great as it is now, it only gets me more excited about more of whatever places of my heart are still in tune with this world instead of the world that I'm now a forever citizen of. I want to know, because every time they've ever been revealed and I've trusted God enough to just say, help, or take it, or here it is, and be truthful and acknowledge it, radical transformation has taken place. Life has been set free. So they keep it cracked, Tarif, that's okay. Just so people are... feel welcome to come on in. So the theme of the next 2 weeks is, or just a title that kind of grabbed me. It was a T-shirt that someone was wearing in a grocery store, and it was F-A-K-E, and then I-T, fake it. But then the K had been knocked off a little bit, and it was replaced with a C. face it, fake it. We can fake it or face it. And it was a yoga t-shirt, so I guess it was whatever. But I love the idea because I can fake it and stay in darkness in a particular area of my life, or I can face it and bring it into the light. I don't have to have the answer. I certainly don't have to be embarrassed, but why would I even deny if I'm embarrassed about it? The point is there's one place that I can face it, lay it at his feet, and watch amazing things happen. So the scripture that we'll be standing on today and next week is one you know. I'm excited about the Holy Spirit revealing it in a new way for each of us. I'm excited and believing that between this Sunday and next Sunday, there will be literal bondage broken in areas of our lives. Places that we, and by the way, when I say bondage, we know they're paper handcuffs, right? We know they have no power. There is no bondage. In Christ, we are free, right? Forever. There's nothing you could do to undo it. You couldn't say, let me figure out. And somebody's already racing to remember the scripture that says that what's the unpardonable sin? And you're wondering, and there's an enemy in there saying, maybe if there is a way, you'll find it, you know, or whatever. But there is, I'm here to stand on his truth and say, it can't happen, it won't happen for you. You've said yes, he lives in you, it won't happen. But that said, this scripture we all hear, God just revealed some twist to it that I'm excited to explore together. But anyway, may you prosper in all things and have good health even as your soul prospers. So my question for you first and foremost is, in that, if I were to say to you, even as your soul prospers, does that suggest that there's a possibility that your soul isn't prospering? Or is it a presupposition, an assumption, a declaration that your soul already prospers? Why would Paul have said it that way? Paul, let me think. No, John, thank you. It's 3 John 1:2. So why would John have said it that way? He said it that way because our souls are designed to prosper once we died to self and were reborn in Christ. Once we came up out of baptism, Christ was died as us, but he also was resurrected as us. When he went to the cross as David, barefoot, as Saul, as Harif, as whoever in here, if he went to the cross and died as you and for you, then when he was resurrected, he was resurrected as you, okay? So your soul is designed to prosper. What is the soul? The soul, we've said it often here, it's our mind, it's our will, it's our emotion, is the quickest, simplest definition. But I went not only to the Greek, I went also to dictionary definitions and combined all the pieces that basically reinforce that. It simply says it's the seat of the feelings. Okay? Your soul is the seat of your feelings, your desires, your affections, your aversions. Your soul also is even it's the seat of what you don't gravitate towards either. That's why Paul tells us your soul is dead, not your flesh. Your soul is dead. The members of your body are dead to these things. And they were things that are not pretty anymore and not good for us, right? So he wasn't saying, discipline yourself to no longer do those things. He was saying your soul is dead to them. Your soul has an aversion to them, okay? So the soul is that place where it also, the other definitions are natural in definition. In other words, it's the life force that makes Beth who Beth is, right? Her fleshly body is a vessel. Her soul is that life force. But mind, will, and emotion, that's our soul. So our soul was designed to prosper. It's a prosperous soul. It's a free soul that lives in the light, okay? So he's saying, as your soul prospers, and that's something we'll move through this next couple of Sundays together. So then prosper, what's prosper? What do you think prosper is? If you looked it up in the Greek, I like that I see heads going, thinking. Have you ever noticed there's an occasional word that you go to look up the definition and they break the rules and use the word in the definition? Prosper is one of those words. They can't come up with a way to explain it because prosper is prosper. Prosper is bounty. It is favor. So the word favor is used. You have to go outside of just the Greek and look at what the old French had to say and what the Latins had to say. But it's cause to succeed. Render happy. Which just to me was so cool because, you know, rendering fat, like, and rendering is you render a cloth dry. It's like we've been rendered, like Christ was rendered for our happiness, but our soul, it has been rendered happy. Yes, you, Christ follower, Christian, are supposed to be happy. Not just joyful. Part of the definition of joy, by the way, is happy. But David, I know that I've experienced joy in the midst of unhappiness. Praise God.
Forever.
Amen. That is true and will always be true. Happiness doesn't lead to joy. Joy leads to happiness. Pursuit of happiness doesn't lead to joy. Pursuit of the simply believing on the one that he sent is that source. So the so with that, our souls were designed. They're already prosperous by design. Having said that, does it make sense? Worthy to ponder. Does it make sense? I don't want you to just take it because I'm saying it. That my soul, that's natural place for my soul is prosperous, is it still possible for that soul, for parts of my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotion to be influenced by and or practice unprosperous behavior or thinking or believing? The ability for it to be influenced. So there's a place in Scripture that talks about two masters. I'm going to illustrate next week a little bit better and a little bit more in detail, so that's not why I'm not going to the Scripture. Last week we talked about our soul is now anchored in heaven by Christ. He's the anchor. So we said, I can't ever be unanchored because I'm not the one that anchored me. He anchored me. He's already seated there. He's my anchor. But it also is pointing to the fact that our soul is now anchored. Our mind, will, and emotions are inhabitants of heaven, citizens of heaven, citizens of all that truth, that paradigm, that reality, that tree of life, unlimited, abounding, hope in the glory of God. That's our reality. Our soul is also in a vessel that is walking on the earth, right? So even though I'm here, my master is there. My paradigm is there. That's my soul's reference point. However, there is still references here. I can touch, I can taste, I can feel. I can emotionally, my soul can encounter and actually, you know, connect my spirit and the fleshly world, right, for an actual experience and encounter. They can be beautiful, they can be painful. So with that said, serving two masters, I can be here and not have this paradigm be my master. All I'm referring to is this paradigm is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, self-righteousness, self-control, self-dependency, self-protection, all those things. The dividing line is who is on the throne, who do I believe on? The one thing Jesus said when they asked, what is it that I must do to do the work of the Lord? And he said, simply believe on the one that he sent. And that's too simple for the human mind. The unregenerated human mind goes, it must be harder. That is the reason that I say it's simple, it's not easy. And the reason I can say it is, the most glorious hairs in the room, like mine and other ones that I see that wear the glory of the Lord, like mine does, I see those heads nodding, meaning they know even at this stage of their life and this stage of my life, I know how I know how easy it is for that to influence, for this paradigm to influence my thinking and depend on self. And so to believe on him is simple, but there are areas where we don't even know what we don't know. But it's as easy as just saying, show me, Holy Spirit. You know, I said a few weeks ago, and I probably offended somebody, that the search me, O God, in Psalm 139, search my heart, or is it 51? Psalm 51, sorry. 51. Yeah, thank you. So, and I said, we don't live with that anymore. Oh. I don't need to say, oh God, search my heart, show in any unclean ways, because there are no unclean ways. We do, however, see David living with a heart like God's, okay? Feeling free to say that, not because his heart's, he doesn't have Christ the way we do. But still, I love the idea that I can go, Holy Spirit, show me anywhere that I'm out of alignment with your truth, that my soul is simply choosing a reference from this world other than that world, okay? So.
Ask a question, so just one.
Sure.
I believe that David knows Christ because of Psalm 2. Read, this is what he says. And there he says, trust in the Son before he get furious. So I believe he was.
And without going farther, he knew the heart of God. So, yes. Of course, how can you know the heart of God without knowing Christ?
So.
So then, and we'll come back to David again. So yes, that's beautiful. So prospering soul, just checking time here. A prospering soul, I'm going to offer up some words. If you have any others, feel free to share them. But a prospering soul, would you say a prospering soul, our soul is designed, we agreed already, to prosper. It's free, right? It's at peace. We talk often about the Hebrew definition of peace being nothing missing, nothing broken. It's at peace. It's joyful. It's happy. It's resourceful. My mind, will, and emotions, when operating, knowing the truth that it's prosperous, it's actually resourceful. It's not intimidated by. I'm going to cross over to next week's topic again here for a moment, but. Tension is not negative. Frustration is not negative. Confusion is not negative to the prospering soul. I just happened to say, good morning, Sal, how are you? And he said, you know, good. I could tell it wasn't one of those great ones. And he goes, but I just move out of the rain and wait, as if to say, I know. I have too many references of how many bears and lions he's slain for me. So he's resourceful. Instead of being stuck and staying in the rain, there's only one little rain cloud. It's light and momentary. He knows it's probably washing off stuff. He doesn't even know. So, but meanwhile, he doesn't have to focus on the rain. He can just say, okay, whatever. The point is, there's a resourcefulness for the prosperous soul. And then there's an expectant aspect to a prosperous soul. Hope is a word we hear so often throughout the scripture, right? And hope is confident expectation. The world's hope is, I wonder if it will happen. In the kingdom, hope is, I look forward to it happening. I confidently expect it to happen, right? So that's the prosperous soul. If you have any other words that you empower you. Yes. So, we know that the soul was designed to prosper. We seem to be in agreement on that and can relate to what a prosperous soul is. But if there is a prosperous soul, then doesn't that mean there can be an unprosperous soul? Certainly without Christ, it's unprosperous. What does an unprosperous soul look like? So that even though my soul is made to prosper, I can be aware of mind, will, and emotion beliefs that are out of alignment. So an unprosperous soul, stressed, right? Fearful, what was that?
Defeated,
absolutely. Yeah. Toxic in general, all those negative thoughts, all those impure thoughts, all those things that are just counterfeits to whatever the truth is, okay? Hopeless, the big one I want to camp on and why we said the title was Fake It or Face It. is hiding, masking, distortion, deception. The enemy is
mask.
Masking is exactly one. The enemy is the Lord of deceit, right? He is here to deceive and to rape and to steal and to pillage, okay? And so he's the master of deception. His ways are deceit. A soul in his paradigm is deceived. It is distorted. It sees things, you know, in a distorted way. So with that, I thought, let's look at what the Word has to say about truth to set up next week when we can now take this in and allow the Holy Spirit to, I believe next week and maybe even between now and next week, he's going to do amazing works in each of us where things that are not in alignment are going to come to our awareness. And next week we'll talk about what we can instantly do with that. And we'll pray together. I believe there will be radical transformations. And just breakthroughs instead of making it some grandiose language. How cool is it just to have something be revealed and lay it down and then make more space for God to live through us? He's always living through us. He never turns from us. But I didn't write it, but I'm going to say it anyway. At first I went to write, I said, no, can't do that, but I'll do it. Well, it's just because it opens up the door to performance thinking and performance theology. It opens up the door to condemnation, what I'm about to say, and I don't mean it that way. But the unprosperous soul experiences separation from God. Is my soul ever separated from God? No, but I can feel because I'm hiding. Remember Adam and Eve? What did they first do? Did it work? I mean, God said, where are you? But he didn't know, you know? So the other thing I thought about doing in the opening, I changed to the face it or fake it, but my daughter, my sons, any one of them, if they ever said a derogatory thing about themselves in my presence, I got mad and talked to them in the third person. I said, nobody talks about my son like that. Nobody talks about my daughter like that. Amen. And that's how the Father is over you and I.
Amen. Amen.
Even you don't get to talk over yourself that way without the power of God coming against it for your benefit, okay? That's the turmoil. Tension is nothing more. The Word, well, first, tension is nothing more than a shaking for the truth to emerge. And so take the word tension and take the word tribulation, where it says we hope, we exalt in the glory of God. Not only that, we exalt, it's Romans 5:1, exalt in 5:1 and 2 and 3, whatever. We exalt in the tribulation. That word tribulation is likened to a wine press, pressing out. What does a wine press press out? The good, not the bad. The bad is discarded. So tribulation, tension, my soul, so God won't allow me to stay out of. You know, he's constantly pursuing, let me put it that way, constantly pursuing his heart. Me as a husband, I'm learning over time that the ultimate desire of my wife's heart is to be pursued. Who are we in the kingdom? The bride of Christ. This is a little funky for us guys, okay? But we are the bride. I'm telling you, I promise you, society taught you men not to want pursuit of your heart, but it is the longing of your heart. It leads to the practices that men do on computer screens and things of that nature because they're lonely, because they're scared, because they don't know how to even acknowledge it. The word loneliness and men don't even go together.
Amen.
We think it's a concept, not a feeling. But he pursues. So with that, we want our hearts pursued as well. But the point was the pursuit of the heart is what he's always doing. It's oneness. All these stories I'm pointing to electronic devices because that's where my Bible is at the moment. So in these places, he's longing for one thing and one thing only, oneness. And the only thing we have to bring is belief. And the littlest bit, believing in the possibility of believing is enough. And he'll strengthen your belief muscle. That's it. You say faith? No, he gave us our faith. It's only belief, right? The grace of God gives us that, the unmerited favor. So you'll hear in the scriptures we're now going to go through, listen for things like this. The aspect contextually of the descendants of Abraham. Who are the descendants of Abraham? Well, of course, only me. I'm the only Jew in the room. Am I? I don't know. Okay. But right. So but by the way, that's a lie. The descendants of Abraham are those who believe on Jesus. I didn't say it, he did. We are the descendants of Abraham and all the blessings that came with. It's funky in our age to think this way. But back then in kingdoms and feudal systems and communal systems, if you wore the name of the father, your father, and your father was Lord of that community, you were royalty. You had favor. That's it. It was automatically imputed to you. Our father blessed we're descendants of that blessing, okay? And so that's something to focus on. The scriptures to be aware of, I'm going to give some others. The scriptures I'm mentioning, bounced a little here.
I'm Jewish like you.
Okay, so and it's truth.
Two nations became one.
Amen. I completely agree. In fact, we'll hit a scripture that covers exactly what Sal just said. So what I believe sets us up for next week is if hiding was the thing and masking and deception is such a big part of a soul that's not prospering, then the antithesis of that is truth. The opposite of hiding is truth, is being transparent, okay? So what does the word say about that? First of all, just so you know, I looked up. How many people think prayer is important?
Yes.
Okay, and how about pray and prayer? I looked up both words. In their entire count in the New Testament, they're half of how many times the word truth is used. Okay, so now, some of you have a mind like mine, as I was challenged in even going down the path I'm going to go down, because sometimes truth is being used as referring to His truth, not me being truthful. Yeah. So you're going to hear me and say, you're twisting that a little. Truth is truth. If His heart, if His character is displayed to us in the Word, and His character is my character, that as Christ is in this world, so am I, then truth is, we can look at it at every angle we want. It's still transparent, open, you know. So let's see about truth. First, let's look at the opposite of truth, or how God feels about untruth. This is John 8:43-44. So I'm going to go through a lot of scripture as we wrap up the day here. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. You will hear in scriptures to come, God is truth, it says, okay? So no truth in him. So the devil isn't truth, God is. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. I want to puke right now. I just got this feeling that anytime I'm free from, I'm covered by the blood, but that my nature is not to lie. So why would I have, it's just in total contradiction to my nature. I feel so set free right now even thinking about it, that the thought of going to something that's unnatural. Would anyone ever pick up a piece of dog poop and eat it?
Poison.
It's not your nature, or poison, something you knew was poisonous. Would anyone ever take a knife and stab it in the heart of your daughter? Okay, let's get real. Would you stick a knife in any human being, but let alone the heart of your daughter or your son? It's not in your nature.
Absolutely.
Lying is not in my nature. It's the devil's nature, but not in my nature. Whenever he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Whew. Jeremiah 9:2-8. for all of them are adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Now, for context, he's talking about unsaved, and he's talking back when there were people that were either following and believing God or not following and believing God. So you know that because of the law having to be exist to point out the free will he gave us to choose him satisfying and fulfilling the law and us having oneness, okay? So remember, we're talking about a time when there were peoples. Yes?
Jeremiah
9, 2 through 8. Okay. For all of them are adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongue like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in the land. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, because every brother deals craftily, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. Everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, declares the Lord. Through deceit, they refuse to know me. Okay? Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will refine them and assay them, which is burn that off. For whatever else can I do because of the daughter of my people? Their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks deceit. With his mouth, one speaks peace to his neighbor, but inwardly he sets an ambush for him. Now, that doesn't sound like anything we would relate to. Has anyone ever set an ambush for your neighbor? Like set up this trap where they, if they walk across your property line one bit with their lawnmower, like this snare takes them into a net and up into the sky? No, we don't think that way. But if I am saying nice things to someone, but in my mind, I'm jealous of them, I'm wishing I had what they had, I'm contriving, I'm speaking untruths, I'm not being transparent, that I'm angry with you right now. I feel sad that we aren't closer. You know, like whatever the case might be, I'm watching, it's just something I didn't even have a grid for. I didn't understand what it was like to embrace open, intimate living, where if there's something that doesn't feel right between me and a friend, me and a brother, me and my wife, me and my children, I just go, I don't know what it is. I don't feel connected. I feel that way because of this. They're just feelings. I'm not saying they're real, but get them out. My logical brain would never get them out because feelings aren't real. But hiding from them would take that place of my soul and cause it not to live in its intended design, prosperous. And therefore, I'm not prospering in all things, and therefore, I'm not having health. I've given testimony to you guys, an example, I don't have time today, of places where I did allow something that the Spirit brought to my attention, laid it as his feet, it went into the light, I didn't even ask for healing, didn't even know the two were connected, and I ended up getting radically healed of something that I'd carried for 23 years in my body. Gone. 3 hours later when I woke up, gone. And he brought it to my remembrance. Remember last night, in the middle of the night, when you gave that thing to me? He goes, and he didn't say, you got this because of that. He just said, when you allow me and to flow in your life and your soul prospers, so too do you prosper in all things and have good health, right? So he goes on. I'm going to move on out of that, Jeremiah. I did finish that part. Isaiah does the same thing in 59. He's again talking to a people. Your lips have spoken falsehood. So it's Isaiah 59, 3 through 21. If you want to go read it, you'll just see again what a world of unprosperous souls look like and how God felt about it. And it wasn't the intended design. But we can glean from it at least that that's not our zip code. It's not even our continent. It's not even our planet. We ain't from there. Okay, so they ain't my people. That would have been long. Glad I skipped that one. So anyway, now just let me speak as we close. Tons of scriptures that just speak to truth. Psalm 51:6. It was so fun. David was on my mind when God put this whole John 3:1-2 scripture of let's look at a prospering soul and all that abounds from that, and what tries to limit our soul from its intended design. And I thought of David, because David, he says, we all talk about David saying, he delivered me from the lion, he delivered me from the bear. I have all these references. So I show up big and bold and prosperous. And I will prosper over you, Goliath. But the reality is we forget to look at why he's in that place. It's because he's the same man that cried out and said, crush my enemy's head. What's wrong with you, God? What have you done? Why do I feel this way? He yelled at God. He yelled with God. He cried to God. He was truthful and transparent and would not allow his soul to come under hiding and masking and deceit. He just bared it. Bathsheba looks hot.
Yeah, very hot.
Yeah, okay. Easy, down, Tiger, down. So okay, but it's the truth. He didn't say, next week we're going to look at 2 Colossians 2 and 3 as part of where we're going, and he didn't say that. He didn't say, you'll hear the words, but basically he's speaking to the self-punishment we put ourselves when we think those thoughts. David didn't do that. He just went, I didn't create my feeler, you did. And it feels excited right now. It feels sad right now. I didn't make me, you did. That was how David stayed transparent with God. I didn't make me, you did. I didn't make the world, you did. He knew that he was up. He was attached, anchored to heaven in that respect, that's the paradigm he believed in. I didn't make it, you did. So why is it this way? He was also the guy who walked around the kingdom and encouraged himself and showed us how we can build a prospering soul, constantly nurture our soul's intent. He walked around the kingdom going, you provide for all my needs and the riches in Christ Jesus. He walked around saying those things to himself, muttering those things as we worked on last week, that meditation is actually muttering. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I was saved through a ministry of reconciliation. I'm now an ambassador of reconciliation. I see not in the flesh, but in the spirit. I see what wants to emerge. He says those things. Right? So anyway, he girds himself up in those. So I'm talking with a friend who happens to be here, Harif, about what I was going to cover today. And he goes, and I hadn't mentioned anything about David yet. And he goes, Psalm 51:6. And I went to it, and it was the scripture. It was just so cool. And it is, behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part, you will make known wisdom. If you prosper and wisdom go together, okay? We have Solomon, who asked of God one thing, and he got all things. He says, we just said, prosper in all things and have good health. Wisdom is part of that. So if you go to Ephesians 4:25, Psalm 145:18, 2 John 1:2, 1 Corinthians 13:6, John 17:17, Jeremiah 33:6, Ephesians 6:14, stand firm therefore, having girded your loins with the belt of truth. The stand firm. You want to stand firm? He gives it. Just flip the sentence. Stand firm therefore, having girded in truth, stand firm. The not as a do get, believe in his truth about that. Proverbs 3:3, John 16:13. So I'm believing the Holy Spirit's going to give you everything I was going to read because we're out of time on those scriptures. The intention was to set up his truth and foundation to a prospering soul and to the fact that hiding and faking it is a barrier for the full life that you're intended to live. So next week, we're coming together and the Holy Spirit is going to reveal areas that we're intended to be free. So I thank you, Jesus, for the fellowship of my friends, my brothers, my sisters here. I thank you for fellowship with you, Holy Spirit. I thank you how excited you are and therefore how excited we can be about what you are doing, will do, and are going to do. Thank you for everything. You are amazing, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Okay.